Good morning, it's 846 4CA. Well, what a year it's been. There's been some amazing milestones. And I don't know about you, but I think there's some changes in the air, you know, when it comes to the pandemic. That's really changed a lot of things for Australians. Net zero emissions by 2050 has kind of galvanised the electorate in so many ways with respect to the way forward. We'll talk a little bit more about climate change in just a sec, but my special guest this morning is everywhere. I've even seen him on the TV this morning. He's in the local Cairns Post, Leader of the Opposition. Good morning to Anthony Albanese. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Look, let's start here in Queensland. I believe just over the last couple of days, I don't know whether you went to the Bundaberg Rum Factory. That's one of my favourite places, but you spent some time here in Queensland.
I did. I had a bit of a break there in Bargara, just very close to Bundy there. I did visit the Bundy factory. You've got to visit the distillery there. I got some Christmas presents there. And I can say that on Cairns Radio, hoping that the recipients aren't listening. But I got that. And I had a few days off. I did some bit of work there when I got to Bundaberg, did a media conference and did some radio there. But Bargara's a lovely place. It's very quiet. I do like central Queensland. Mm. It is a quieter place than further south or further north indeed. But I just love the way that Queenslanders are so relaxed, and people would see us even, you know, in the water having a swim, and they'd say, "Oh, g'day, good to see you here," and, you know, "good luck," and we're very cheery, but didn't want to talk heavy politics or anything, just to say hello. I think that the Queenslanders' laid-back style is one of the things that attracts people to visit Queensland.
I think we appreciate it when people are here enjoying a holiday. I was in Port Douglas one day, and I ran into Sean Penn and Woody Harrelson, and I thought I could take their photograph. I was taking some photos, but I thought, no, I'm just going to leave them alone. They said hello to me, I said hello to them, and just left it like that. So you're a bigger star as some of those Hollywood stars. Let's
well, not quite.
Oh, but, come on, Albo.
But it's similar in terms of just very relaxed.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful cafe there. I put a shot on my Instagram for people if they want to have a look. The best fruit breakfast I've ever had in my life. It was quite extraordinary to give a free plug to a cafe there at Bargara.
Well, each time I see you, you seem to be getting slimmer, so stay on that fruit. Let's talk a little bit more about Central Queensland, certainly for the election that's obviously coming up at some stage into the future. You know, there are some issues there in Central Queensland, obviously very coal dependent. You look at some of the figures in the last year or so, particularly thermal coal, you know, the export value to Australia is just increasing exponentially. It is very much a valuable export. It is going to be a tough area for Labor at the next election, though.
Oh, look, we've always said very clearly that the exports of our natural resources will continue to be a valuable thing for the country. It's one of the ways that we're paying for our health and education and other services, and the demand for that, of course, will determine what occurs there. And over a period of time, the projections are that that will decrease. But we know that Queensland in particular as well produces an enormous amount of metallurgical coal that's necessary at this point in time for the making of steel. And it will continue to play an important role. What we've said is that we need to be honest with people, though, unlike the current government, who, of course, have funded a study into whether there'll be a new coal-fired power plant, even though they know that it won't go ahead. They know that for more than a decade now, there's been no commencement of any new coal-fired power plant, and that's not because governments, either Labor or Liberal, state or federal, have ruled them out. It's because the market has ruled it out, because the cheapest form of new energy is clean energy, which is why we're seeing that transition there. And that's what all of the energy sector say is occurring and will continue to occur.
Look, Albo, you know, we're becoming, unfortunately, more and more like the States, a lot more polarised when it comes to the science behind the pandemic, how we deal with the pandemic, and, of course, climate change. In a lot of ways, the Net Zero 2050 has pulled a lot of Australians together. But, you know, our belief in science, our understanding of science, and I guess pulling together, is going to be one of the challenges moving forward. If you do become the next Prime Minister of Australia, how are you going to try and balance up, you know, some of the more conservative view, some of the people that are still in denial, and of course the majority that certainly believe in all this? You know, we have to stop being so polarised about facts on this earth.
Absolutely. We need to unite as a nation going forward. What's occurred over a period of time is that people have consciously sought out division, and we see that from some of the members in your area up there, just to the south there. George Christensen's an example of someone who seeks to divide Australians, and his participation in some of the extreme right media globally, emanating from the United States, is an example of that. The only way to end the climate wars is to elect a Labor government. We've put forward a practical plan that has the support of the Business Council of Australia, the Australian Industry Group, the National Farmers Federation, as well as the Australian Council of Trade Unions. That's not a bad quartet to get endorsement for a policy. And our policy will create 604,000 new jobs by 2030. It will reduce emissions by 43% on 2005 levels. It will see renewables make up 82% of the national energy market, and it will see average power bills within that market decrease by $275 per household by 2025. It's a practical plan. It will lead to over $52 billion of private sector investment. It's what business is crying out for, that certainty going forward. And our policy has been so well received that I think it puts us in a position whereby we do have an opportunity to end the climate wars that has held Australia back, that has reduced our jobs that are available, that has meant that power prices are higher than they should be. And we need to move forward with a practical, fully costed plan, which is what we have. It's fully modelled. We released the modelling from Reputex on the day that we announced the policy. And it's a real opportunity, I see, of us ending the nonsense debates, given that now the LNP finally say that they accept the science. They say they support net zero by 2050. Yep. Well, you've got to have a plan to get there, and that's what we've put forward.
There's certainly a lot of people howling from the sidelines, but it would be good to see them, you know, pull together and actually be a part of this country moving forward, because the opportunities are so great. Let's reflect a little bit more on the editorial that was in the Cairns Post this morning. You're talking about the COVID recovery. Interestingly, you know, you talk about the fact that Australians, you know, in times of pandemics, you know, really look for leadership. But at the same time, the federal government is talking about minimising government. In a lot of ways, it's very contradictory.
Oh, look, it is. And it is an example of just a real failure of leadership is what's going on here. The Prime Minister is out there saying, you've got to wear a mask indoors, you should wear a mask indoors, but I won't mandate it, is really about him being worried about that right flank. Mm. It comes down to politics.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea that he has given the example of sunscreen, well, if we're sitting next to each other on the beach and I choose not to wear sunscreen, that doesn't mean that you get sunburnt because of a decision that I've made.
Sure.
Whereas with COVID, what we do impacts the people we come into contact with. And that's why it's not just a matter of individual choice, any more than people getting drunk and driving a car is a matter of individual choice. The reason why we have rules is because doing that has an impact on others on the road. And similarly, there are rules in place rather than just the suggestions. And I found when I came back to Sydney yesterday afternoon from Queensland, where I went to a supermarket, and for the first time I went to check in with my QR code and I couldn't because they've just all been removed.
Yeah.
Some people in the supermarket were wearing masks, some weren't. And there, when I was in Queensland, there at Bagara, at the shopping centre there, everyone was wearing masks, everyone was checking in with QR codes, it's no big deal. Every place I went into, whether it was a pub or a restaurant, anywhere in Queensland, I got asked to show my certificate. I checked in with the QR code, no problem whatsoever. And, you know, we will recall, it's a while ago now, but remember this, that the federal government went around for some time and used a sunscreen analogy about something else, and that was the COVID Safe app. They said, remember, get your COVID Safe app, it'll make a difference. And the truth is that it had no impact. It was a failure. It cost millions of dollars and no one's used it. People, the states had to step up and adopt their own systems. There in Queensland, you did that. You've kept safe. You've kept open in terms of your activity. You were able to have rugby league, thank goodness, in Queensland. Yes. Meant that we could at least watch it on TV, even if the result was a bit poor of the grand final as a South Sydney supporter. It made a difference. And that was, state governments have stepped into the void because of a failure of federal government leadership. And once again, we're seeing action that's too little, too late from Scott Morrison.
I mean, we're not America. We are a social democratic society. So, you know, that leadership from government, and lover or hater, Palaszczuk is certainly coming through with flying colours there. Look, I know you've got to go, but look, just a couple of quick things. Just with respect to boosters, yeah, obviously with Pfizer, bringing it down to 4 months, that may be possible. Not as simple with AstraZeneca. How are we going to get around that issue?
Well, that's something that will need advice from the health experts. It's very clear that the advice up to this point is that there's a difference in terms of the protection from Omicron. But we should follow the advice. And the truth is that the boosters will need to be brought forward, and that also, as we're seeing overseas, the classification is fully vaccinated. People need to have their booster shots. And I have no doubt, Murray, that that is going to be the case in Australia. Now, if we know we're going to get there, we need to plan much better for it. If we bring forward that time frame between the second dose and the booster shot, then we're going to have to make sure that we fix supply and we fix the number of outlets that are available. I mean, finally, the government increased slightly the payments for doctors and pharmacists to give the booster shots. But it's extraordinary that they had to be dragged to that position of changing what they were doing and only just yesterday. How about we try to get ahead of this, stay ahead of it, rather than playing catch-up, because we know that there are real consequences behind prevarication when it comes to the response to this pandemic. Mm. And we were far too slow in rolling out the vaccine and getting supply. The Prime Minister said it wasn't a race. It always was a race, and now it's a race to get boosters into people's arms. And we need to make sure that the government acknowledges that.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year, 2022, not just for the Rabbitohs, for the Federal Labor Party as well. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you. Looking forward to seeing you in Cairns, hopefully sometime early in 2022. Leader of the Opposition, Leader of the Labor Party, have a fantastic Christmas, Albo, and thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Murray, and thanks for having me on the program over the year. And I look forward to seeing you. I'll be up there early January, and hopefully we can make time in the studio.
Ola, I'll make sure I don't eat too much at Christmas time so I can be as slim as you, Albo.
Oh, enjoy Christmas. You're allowed to indulge. Everyone's allowed to indulge at Christmas time. And a Merry Christmas and a safe one to all of your listeners. All summer long. This summer, our